looking kind of chronologically at what is going to happen in the future. The next thing to happen in the future, of course, on God's timetable, is the rapture of the church. But it's imminent. It can happen at any moment. There really aren't any, there is no prophetic events or things that have to happen for the rapture to take place. The people in the early church looked expectantly for the Lord, and they knew that the Lord could come at any moment. So if they lived that way 2,000 years ago, you know, how much more should we, you know, live with that expectation of his coming? Then we saw after the rapture of the church, the next event that will take place is the Bema Seat judgment for the believer, and that will take place sometimes between the rapture of the church and Jesus' second coming. So we don't know exactly when that will happen. A lot of people have different views on exactly when it will happen, but it will happen during that time. And then I think it was last week we looked at the ministry in the tribulation period of the 144,000 and of the two witnesses. So today we're going to start looking at the judgments that come, the divine judgments, and there's a series of three judgments that will come. There will be the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments, and we'll look at them each in succession. So today we're going to look at the first series, the seal judgments. So in your introduction there, it says, "The Lord will send three series of judgments upon the earth and those who dwell therein during the tribulation. This will be because of their sin, their defiance of God, and their persecution of his people, Israel, and the church." Open your Bibles to Isaiah 13:11. Isaiah 13:11, the Bible says, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." So notice that verse starts out by saying that God is going to punish the world for their evil. Skip ahead a few chapters to chapter 26 of Isaiah and look at verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." So based on these two verses, why is the Lord sending these judgments? To punish the world for their sin and to even uncover their sin. It's going to un you know the earth will disclose its blood and uncover her slain. Even things that people got away with, God notices, and God will bring punishment to the world. So this is part of the reason that these divine judgments are coming. All these judgments will be expressions of his divine wrath. Look at Revelation 15 and verse 1. "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God." Okay? One of the emotions that God expresses is wrath. And you know, when you think of wrath, what comes to your mind when you think of wrath? Anger. I mean, you know, not just being mad, but anger. And you know, God is angry the Bible says, with the sinner every day, and he's angry about their sin, and they will be punished for their sin. So these will bring suffering upon the earth like never before. And Jesus mentions this in Matthew 24 in his Olivet Discourse when he's talking about the end of the world to his disciples when they asked him the question, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And in Matthew 24, in verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, "For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So there's going to be great tribulation that comes upon the earth during the tribulation period. And as we kind of already know, the second half of the tribulation is going to be much more severe than the first half of the tribulation. And that second half, if those days weren't shortened, what does the text tell us? Nobody would live. But because of the elect, those that will be saved during the tribulation period, God will have mercy. So the first two series of judgments that we're going to see, the first two series during the first half of the tribulation, except for the seventh trumpet, which we'll talk about when we get there, ushers in the second half. How long these judgments continue is not always clear. Are they one-time events? Are they ongoing events? Do they pile up one on top of another? It's not always clear from the book of Revelation. But Revelation chapter 4 and 5, if you could turn there now, Revelation chapter 4 and 5 set up the background for these judgments. And in chapter 4, God is seen upon the throne. Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads 7 crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." So what do we see here? We see that in chapter 4, God is seen on his throne. Okay? So God, of course, is sovereign, and he is seen on his throne. And these judgments are coming from the throne of God, from the sovereign God. And in chapter 5, the Lord Jesus is seen as judge. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. I think I better turn this off before I get embarrassed. Chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So, these judgments come from the throne of God. His authority, His wrath, His sovereignty. And there is scrolls that are given, and there's seals that need to be broken. And no one is worthy to open them, because what is it? It's judgment that's going to be upon the earth. But who is the one that's worthy to open the seals? Christ, okay? The Lord Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Root of David. And, of course, He's the Lamb that was slain. So here Jesus, who is worthy, who is not only divine, but He's human, He's the one who's able to open these seals, okay? If you have questions about the seven spirits of God, what does that mean? I believe that is a reference to Isaiah 11:2, where the Lord says the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of all that, is upon me, okay? So it talks about completeness. And so not that there are seven spirits of God, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, chapter 11, verse 2. So it talks about completeness, and it talks about Him having all those abilities that are mentioned in Isaiah 11:2. Okay? So we're going to look at chapter 6. We're going to look at the first series, the seal judgments. Any questions before we move ahead? Comments, thoughts? John was weeping. John, because remember, John was taken up, chapter 4, verse 1. John, who's on the island of Patmos, was allowed to go into heaven and see these visions. So John is weeping, because no one's worthy to open the book. And then, of course, the Lamb comes who is worthy. So John, who's writing the book, this is his eyewitness account of those spiritual things. Okay? All right, so the first series, the seal judgments, Revelation 6, we're going to look at, and notice seal number 1, Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to look at the four horse riders here of the apocalypse. We'll talk about them here for in a little bit. So seal number 1, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw, When the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer. So, taking place at the start of the tribulation, this judgment seems to be the start of the beast's political and military career. Of course, the beast is also known as the Antichrist, and this seems to be the start of his political career. Keep a mark there in Revelation 6, because we're going back, but remember what we read at the start of this a long time ago in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says this concerning the Antichrist, concerning the beast. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Of course, when we study Daniel, you remember that horns have to do with a kingdom, and a kingdom is led by a king. So here's a political leader, and this political leader obviously is human because he has eyes and mouth and he speaks. In verse 24 of the same chapter, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three kings. So, of course, one of the key players, and we'll look at his career in greater depth in the future, in a future lesson, but one of the players in the future yet to come is the Antichrist. And he'll be a political leader and a military leader. Okay? So the first horse, the white horse, will be the start of the Antichrist career. Okay? So following the white horse, following the first seal, is the second seal, verses 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So, of course, the beast comes, his career, his political career starts, and this represents the wars and conflicts that are caused by the Antichrist. Okay, what color is the horse? Red. Okay, what is red? Blood, right? And the mention of the sword. So this is the wars, and sadly in wars, what happens? People die, sadly, and so this is the rider of the red horse. Followed in succession by verses 5 and 6, the third seal. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." So what we see here on the black horse, this represents the famine that is a result of this warfare. Now, when you read the word penny in the King James Bible, don't think of our little copper 1 cent penny. Okay, that's not what it means. But a penny's a day's wage. Could you imagine working a day's wage for enough wheat to make a loaf of bread? You know. So what does this represent? This represents the famine that is a result of this warfare. And haven't we seen that already on a smaller scale with the war in Ukraine, right? Russia has been blocking a lot of the ports and not allowing their ships to go out. I noticed one day this week, I don't remember what day it was, but, the international community became very angry with Russia, and they allowed grain ships to be sent out because Ukraine is the breadbasket of much of Europe. So it's obvious that when politicians start wars, death and famine follow. And we're seeing that on a small scale in Ukraine and Russia right now. Now, imagine living there now and thinking, my, this is terrible. But the tribulation is going to be worse than that. You know, think about World War II, all those countries that Germany just came in and conquered. You know, it's going to be much worse than that. Okay, and then the fourth seal, verse 7 and 8, the rider of the pale horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. So here, the fourth seal, the rider of the pale horse, this represents the death that will come as a result of war, weapons, famine, disease, and death, according to this, will take one quarter of the earth's population. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot. But there's something interesting. Notice the word in your King James Bible, the word pale. Okay? The Greek word for pale is chloros. And everywhere else in the Bible, it's translated green. Okay? It's translated green. Mark 6:39. Joanna, could you read Mark 6:39? Sharon, could you read Revelation 8:7? And Dana, could you read Revelation 9:4? Okay? Mark 6:39. Okay, see the word green there? Green grass? Same Greek word behind the word pale here in Revelation. Okay, the next passage. What is it? Revelation 8, 9? Is that what it is? 8, 7? What did I say? You're correct. 8, 7. Okay, all the green grass was burnt up. Same Greek word. Okay.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God.
Okay, so again, the word green. So all everywhere else in the Bible, this is translated as green. And I don't know why it was translated pale here. The only thing I could think of is when people are sick, a lot of times people say, "My, you look awful pale." Or have you ever also heard people say, "Ooh, you kind of look kind of green." You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but it's the word is also translated green. Now, death will come to one quarter of the earth's population. Look at Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. So these are the things that are going to happen, during the tribulation period. And during just this beginning, because of these wars that the Antichrist starts, a quarter of the world's population is going to be destroyed. Now, something interesting. I don't know if this plays out. Here is just a FYI. What are the four colors of the horsemen? White, red, black, and green, right? The four colors. Every single Muslim country flag is white, black, red, and green. Everyone. Every single one. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if it means anything. But it's interesting. You know. And I don't know. Will the Muslims be involved in this? Of course they will. You know, number one, they're being punished. But the Muslims fight. It's interesting that what does the Muslims say concerning the color of their flags? White are for our acts, A-C-T-S. Black represents our battles. Green represents our fields. And red represents our swords. Exactly the sword part, what the Bible mentions. So I don't know. I don't know if we should make anything of that. It's just interesting, okay? I do not believe that the Antichrist will be an Arabic person, but I do believe that the Arabs will be part of the mix, okay? Any questions or thoughts on that you may have studied or heard? Andy, you look like you're thinking about something.
Mm-hmm. Understand that Christ will be part Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the seven spirits of God, there are also people who believe that the seven spirits of God are seven spirits that are around the throne also. You know, like they're the seven spirits of God who minister. We know that there are cherubim and seraphim and whatnot around the throne. So a couple different illustrations of that. The one thing we do know is there's only one Holy Spirit. So it can't be that. So it has to be something else. Okay? All right. We're not done with the seals, but we're done with the first four. And yes, Martha. No, the four horsemen represent. Now remember, John is an earthling, a human. Sounded like we're talking about aliens. John is a human. And John is allowed to go to heaven to see spiritual things. And he's trying to explain as best he can the spirit world. Okay? So these are obviously spirits that move amongst the world, the spirit that moves upon the Antichrist, the spirit that, you know, paves the way for war, paves the way for famine, paves the way for death. So John, as best as he can, you know, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I was taken up into heaven. Now, we understand there's a spiritual world, but right now we can't see it because we have human eyes. But John was allowed. Daniel was allowed, you know, a few people in world history have been allowed to see into the spirit world. I believe that the witch of Endor was allowed to see into the spirit world when Samuel, the real Samuel, came back from death, came back from the dead to talk to Saul. And what did she do? She screamed and she ran away, you know. So. You know, it's frightening. And John, of course, is in heaven, so he's seeing these scenes played out in heaven. So don't think, you know, there's going to be riding down the main street a literal white horse and a literal black, you know. It's the spirit world. There will be a literal white horse and whatnot, but it will be in the spirit world. Understand? Okay, good. All right, so we got a couple more seals to look at. Seal number 5. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships... Oh, wait. I'm in chapter 8. Wrong one. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed when should be fulfilled. So what we see here is a vision of the godly martyrs who will be slain for Jesus' sake in the first half of the tribulation. So what did we learn last week? Who is going to be sealed and saved at the beginning of the tribulation? The what? How many Jewish evangelists? 144,000. So they're going out, they're spreading the gospel. And many of them will be martyred, as well as people who come to the Lord, okay, during their ministry. Many of them are going to be martyred. Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of this in verse 9 and 10. It says, And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. What do we see, even in our country, the rise of in today's society? Hatred, and in particular, hatred against the Jews and the believers, right? People who have morals, people who have standards, people who would dare say that to kill a baby, to have an abortion is murder, right? To dare say that? How dare you question me? And we've seen it starting to come, you know. So in the tribulation period, when the Holy Spirit is taken out, and you know, and the influence of the church, if you will, all hell is going to break loose on earth, and then what will happen? You know, the Antichrist will come, and many people will be martyred. So it says there, this is difficult to see and to understand, but the sin of the world also affects the godly. You know, think about the early church. And you know that the Romans used to kill Christians in the theater, in the arenas, just for sport, just for fun. Throw them to the lions, you know, and let the lions, you know, chew them to pieces. It is said that some of the Roman leaders would put Christians on a cross, cover them in pitch, which is like a tar, and light them on fire to use them as torches at night to light up their carnivals. You know, cruelty. And the world has always been cruel to many Christians at the beginning, and here we will see at the end, and in a lot of countries, even now in the beginning, in the middle. So they are told to rest until the rest of the martyrs are joined with them. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "And it was given unto him," this is the Antichrist, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Skip down to verse 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Okay? Just like Nebuchadnezzar made his image, and anybody who didn't bow down and worship it would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember the three Hebrew men who did not bow? They were to be killed. And of course, God intervened there, but we see here in the future that many people will die. Okay? And that's seal number 5. Seal number 6, chapter 6, verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree causes her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondservant, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and for the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" This seems, this is natural catastrophic disasters. This seems to be a vision of what will happen just prior to Jesus' second coming. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 is a chapter that kind of goes along with what happens during the tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30, he said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall their sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the man, the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And Haggai talks about this. Revelation 16 talks about this. But remember, Revelation is not always in an exact chronological order. Many of these things do follow one after another, but many also pile up one on top of another. So in chapter 7, it's kind of a parenthetical, and it describes the detail of the salvation of the 144 Jewish evangelists and their fruit. And remember, when we talk about chronological order, that happens in the beginning. So not everything is exact chronological order. Okay, then we get to chapter 8, and in verse 1, we read this. This is the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Silence in heaven. It's kind of as a calm before the storm and the revelation of the next series of judgment. Why do you think the silence? Think about this for a minute. What is heaven filled with? Music, the praises of God, right? All the time. And when this seventh seal is open, there's silence. I think that's very profound, you know, and I think it talks about the seriousness of what's about to happen next. I mean, they're witnessing, you know, they have been witnessing so far, you know, the rise of the Antichrist and the wars that come. And boy, it's bad. I mean, a quarter of the earth's population is killed. And now, there's still two more series of judgments to come. You know, the trumpets and the seals. The trumpets and the bowls. And, you know, there's still two more series to come. So this is very serious. And I think it's the terribleness of the seven trumpet judgments to come. So remember, friends, what we see here, is God's wrath being poured out upon the world. And it's a terrible thing to witness, but it is what is going to happen in the future. Okay? Any thoughts or questions before we close out? Chad?
If scripture's all inspired, wouldn't this be exactly the way that God would want it to be?
Yeah. And that's why I think, and also remember, it's spiritual demons and angels and stuff that he's seeing. So maybe that's what these things look like. Just like he best as he can describe it, you know what I'm saying? But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
God would be saying,
right.
This is
good point.
What you have to write.
Yep.
So when he says it has hair of a woman and a face like a man, God wants him to say that because that's what the creepy little parts in all
of it. Yeah. Yep.
You know, then it takes away all imagination.
Yep.
Well, maybe it is a helicopter.
Right. Yep. That's a good point. Very good point. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, this is not a good thing. That's happening. It's divine wrath. But remember this, God has promised that he has not appointed us to wrath. The church is not here. And, you know, the church is raptured. The church is in heaven when all of this goes on. But it's a terrible time for the earth. And it's a time that, you know, that it's something that we would not want to see any of our friends or family go through. So let's make sure we get the word out and tell them to trust Christ. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, and thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we are saddened, Lord, when we see wrath, thy wrath, come upon the world. And we're saddened to see so many people die, believers and unbelievers. And Lord, we know that you're just, and we know that the world deserves this punishment. But Lord, we also thank you that even in thy wrath, we see grace and mercy because you have saved, you will save the 144,000 who will go out and preach the gospel, and people will get saved, Lord, at those last moments. So we thank you for that. Lord, please prepare us for the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.